He wasn't agitated or disturbed or anything. He didn't care what the number was. Why? Because he's living in a supernatural arena. He's not governed by the natural laws. When he went up into a mountain to pray, and the disciples left him, he just started walking on the water. And he wasn't walking fast. He's taking his time. That's how he lived. He lived in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. And when you live in that arena, then it removes the stress and the turmoil from your life to where you are just dependent upon your Father, because he also had this mindset: I only say what I hear my Father saying, and I only do what I see him doing.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
You get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once again, we say thank you now for the time of hearing your word. Meet us in the text, ministers to us from that word that you've already provided for us. And then meet us, God, in our own individual challenges, and then lift us to the place you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said amen.
Amen.
I want to call your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want to just lift up verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. And the word of the Lord says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. If we'll back up to verse 1 now that you are seated, the word says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And from that verse, especially the first part of it, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, I want to speak from the subject, I just can't forget what you've done for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm talking about the Lord. I just can't forget what he's done for me. Now, if that's true, come on, give him a little praise right now. One of the things that I think is important that Moses highlights in this word to us, especially historically to the children of Israel, is that God has given us a gift so great and so wonderful. In the Old Testament and in this historic presentation, it's talking about the land. In the New Testament, it's talking about the Christ. It's talking about Jesus, God's only begotten Son. And the gift in the Old Testament was a good land because the children of Israel had been captives of the Egyptians and had been in the Egyptian territory for some 430 years, had prayed to the Lord God that he would hear their prayers, and Moses had delivered the people of God from the land of Egypt and the hand of Pharaoh. And God is bringing back to their remembrance some things that they ought not ever forget. And the reason it's important that they don't forget what he's done is because of what he wants to do. And too many of us cannot receive presently because we've forgotten the blessings of the past. And so this is a word for all of us today. Pragmatically speaking, it is a word for us to understand and appreciate the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's given to us. But I want you again, historically, to appreciate what he's saying to the Israelites, the people of God, the chosen people of God. He says all the commandments. Somebody say all. Don't pick and choose. He says all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do. Listen now, there's a reason why he wants you to do what he's commanded you to do. The word is that what? That ye may live. That ye may live. Well, obviously, if we don't do all the commandments, we're not really living. We're just getting by. We're existing. But God wants us to live. Now, because when you live the word of God, the Spirit of God takes that word, he brings it alive in us, he energizes us, he gives us the mind of Christ, and he gives us the ability to operate in that same context of God's word. And so when we begin to understand that doing it God's way is the best way, even though in the flesh and to the carnal mind it is not, we will see in the long run, and we will see even in the interim, that God's way is always better than our way. So again, notice what he says, that ye may live and multiply. Well, maybe, listen, here these two go together because the word says live and. If you're not multiplying, it could be because you ain't living. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm being very real with you. If what God has given, even in the New Testament, Jesus talks about your joy being full, your fruit being fruitful, and then multiplying, and then that the fruit remain. God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament wants the people of God to know more about living, the excitement, the energy, all of the things that he expects us to take authority over and enjoy in this earth realm. We are here for a limited time. Time only. We're here to make an impact on this world as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. We are here representing him. And so he wants, when people to see us, we know all about living because life comes from God. When you learn the principles, then you operate in them, you can't help but multiply, both in the spiritual realm and in the secular realm. And so when we operate according to these principles, we will see God is faithful to do what he said he will do. I want you to see again what the word says, verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Look at the reason why he led them, to humble them. And to prove them, try them. Listen, to know what was in thine heart. Now, this wasn't for God to know what was in their heart. This was for them to know what was in their heart. Okay? So when you begin to see this, God is saying, listen, I led you through the wilderness. It wasn't no mistake that I led you over, around, and around, over and over again. Here was the point. If you don't get the lesson, if you don't understand what I'm doing, let me take you through it again. You go around again. At first you don't succeed. Yeah, y'all get it. It took them 40 years before they learned the lesson that God wanted them to learn. First of all, the first lesson God wanted them to learn was humility. God just can't stand no bigoted folk. Especially folk who are bigoted in the body of Christ, when everything they are and everything they have and everything he does through them, it is him working through them. They have no reason to be bigoted when it's all about God. And some of it goes to our head. We think we're more than anybody else can do more. Think we're more anointed to be this, that, and the other. And we lift ourselves up in pride. He deals first with the fact that he wanted to humble them. And then he wanted to try them, prove them. Because here's what you need to know. If you say it, then you ought to be able to display it. In other words, if you say God is this in your life, God is that in your life, then there are going to be trials, and there are going to be situations, and there are going to be tribulations, and there are going to be temptations, and all the sort that God will allow to come through and come to you so that you can confront them and come out as a conqueror. You never know how strong you really are and the grace of God until God allows you to be tried. Would we have the story we have of Job in the Bible now if God would not allowed him to have been tried? Job was one of the first books written in the Word of God, actually produced. And so that's one of the reasons why God allowed Job to go through what Job experienced, so that Job could be an example for those who followed and understand what you're going through ain't always for you. But you, listen to this, can make it through whatever you're going through and be a witness and an example for others who don't hear or see by faith, but they look and see in the natural. And as an example, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So don't get super spiritual and act like everybody can see and sense what God is doing in the spirit realm. The only way some people know he's doing it is because they see it through others he's doing it through. Some have not grown and matured to that spiritual level where they're able to have that contact and that connection with God on a personal basis, where they can hear, see, and move by the Spirit of God yet on their own. So he led them in the wilderness to humble them, to prove them, and to show them what was in their hearts. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, you think, the Bible says, Jeremiah said, the heart is desperately wicked. And then he goes on further to say, who can know it? It's I, the Lord. He holds the reins. He tries it. He's got control of what you're thinking even before you think it. He knows what direction you're going in. Here's the thing. But you might think you're going one way, and it isn't until God reveals your heart that you realize you're going another way. See, your heart is so deceptive and is so wicked that it can cloak it in goodness and make you think you're right when all the time you're wrong. Your heart does that to you. The enemy works and deals with that, and so therefore you think you're right. People tell me, oh, just follow your heart. If it's right. How many times, honestly, have we followed our heart and been wrong? Got our hearts broken and cracked and torn apart and all of that because we followed our... Be careful, your heart might not be healthy enough, right enough to follow. Amen. And so when you begin to look at this word, he wanted to show them what was in their own heart. He said, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You see, some things come to try us to see whether or not we're going to hold fast to what God said. Or we're going to say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to try my way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to see how this comes out. So he says, he lets you go through what you go through so that you can decide whether or not you're going to follow what God has said or you're not going to do it. Look again at what he says. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God said, let me show you something else now. Because they were connected to the well-seasoned foods of Egypt and all the flavorful, spicy foods and so forth, and their bellies had become their gods and so forth. God said, listen, I'm going to show you a lesson. I'm going to take you in the wilderness, and you ain't going to have all them fine, spicy foods and all the rest of that stuff. He said, I'm going to let you hunger. Now, some of them hungered because they didn't want what they had. You know, I mean, back when we were coming up, older folk, when they get up and made breakfast, they made whatever they were making. You didn't want to eat it? Now you got mamas with 3-4 children. One want this, one want cornflakes, one want pancake, one want grits, one want all that. And she kill herself all through the day trying to, and before the day gets started, trying to make all them different breakfasts. But them little demons. Gonna have that way, gonna do it. No. This is what we're having for breakfast this morning. And you gonna eat it. And listen, and an old folk would do it this way. I tell you what, leave it there. But you don't get up from the table till you're through with that. So after they sit there and it gets mushy and all the rest of that, they still got to eat it. So they learn quickly. Let me go and eat this mess and get on up from here then. Maybe tomorrow I might get what I want for breakfast. But God suffered them to hunger and caused them to understand that their true sustenance and substance comes from Him. And so He fed them with manna from heaven, bread from heaven, fresh baked heaven bread, delivered daily. Fresh. He didn't let them get no day old bread. Matter of fact, He fed them so wonderfully well. He gave every one of them all they could eat. But then there were some who thought they were smarter than God, smarter than the average bear. They wanted to save some. God said, no. This is the day. Eat it today. Don't save none for tomorrow. And those who thought they were smart and saved some, according to His word, when they woke up, they had worms in their bread. Why? God suffered them to hunger. He was teaching them a lesson, that He might feed them with the things from heaven. And so He gave them manna. And then He gave them something greater than manna. He gave them spiritual manna, the word of the Lord. He wanted to teach them that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, this is where your spirit man lives. Your body exist on food, but your spiritual man lives on the word of God. You can be physically fit and healthy in the flesh, and your spiritual man is starving and dying because you're not feeding him or it your spiritual food. And so that's why when things are going well in the natural and you think, man, I got the world by the tail, but something just ain't right underneath the skin. Can't put your fingers on it, but you know something just ain't right. You got everything you want, but you really aren't happy. You can go where you want to go, eat what you want to eat, do what you want, but something just ain't right underneath the skin. It's because the spirit man needs spiritual food, and that's the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But look again, because I want you to see something else. Verse 4 says, thy raiment, your clothes, wax not old upon thee. Now, look at this. Now, it wasn't called spandex, but it was like spandex. Because as the people of God had the same clothes they went in the wilderness with, when they came out, they were the same ones. He says, but they didn't fall apart. They didn't get ragged. If somebody went in at 130 pounds and came out at 210, the clothes grew with them. They didn't wear out the seat of the pants, the knee of the pants. They didn't fall loose at the seams. Look at what the word says. Thy raiment, clothes, wax not old, where? Upon thee. Upon you. Listen at this. Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Lord, you talking about foot swelling? Get a little work going, stay up too long, walk too long, do too much. Foot will swell quickly. He said, I didn't even allow your foot to swell. Some of y'all are like, right now, Lord, keep my foot from swelling. I mean, listen, that just goes to show you that it's a common reality with mankind. Verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasten his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. He said, listen, I want you to understand the reason why I had to correct you and discipline you. Just like a man who corrects and disciplines his child, he says, I did that to you. Why? Because you're my children. And God loves those whom he chastens, or chastise, as we call it. He disciplines. He corrects. See, if God loves you, he doesn't let you or allow you to have your own way. In other words, when you do it your own way, you're going to have consequences connected with it. Because ultimately, God's going to let you know, listen, your way may seem right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My way is always correct. And it's about bending and blending your life into the Word so that the Word can blend in your life and become a living success as you walk the Word, talk the Word, live the Word, demonstrate the Word. Look again at what he goes on to say. Verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Now he's bringing them to a place of remembrance, because this remembrance is going to set them up for what he's getting ready to reveal to them, what he's getting ready to show to them, what he's getting ready to deposit in their accounts. Look again at verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Somebody say a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive, and honey. Listen at verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Ain't gonna be no shortness of bread. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Listen at this now. God is saying, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God is saying, I am providing a land that I want you, listen, to possess. To possess. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. But listen, everybody has not possessed the gift that God has given. Jesus in the New Testament is the gift that he's given to man, but every man has not accepted the gift of Jesus Christ to humankind. And so as a result, as this again gives an insight to how he provided for the children of God in the Old Testament and how we look in this New Testament period in which we now live, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no turning. He is so faithful that he gives everything that pertaineth to life to us. He wants us, not listen, not just to exist again, but to live. Live. When you don't live, my brothers and sisters, and you just get by, you're not experiencing the kind of life that God wants for his children. Now, some think that, you know, God allows us, yes, to be tested and to go through some things, but that's just many times to prune us and to prepare us for the greatness that he has waiting for us. But some folk think that we're supposed to go in the valley and stay there. No wonder the songwriter said, I went to the valley. I didn't go to stay. My soul got happy, and I stayed all day. Now, that's all fine and good for the day, but if you spend the night there, if you unpack your tent there, if you get there and don't want to leave there, something's wrong with you. Because the valley is to try you. It is to show you and to prove to you that God knows how to lead you through the valley, listen at this, to get to your promised land. When you come out of there, the psalmist says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine. Why does he do that? Because you have just come through great trials and tribulations. And God, listen at this, bragged and boasted on you before you went in there that you were coming through. On the other side, he had a celebration prepared for you. But look at what he did, because the reason why God did this is so that your enemies will understand that you cannot stop the blessings of the Lord on the people of God. So he brags on him before he goes in. That's why David says, yay, before he goes through the valley. But then God prepares a table on the other side of the valley when he comes out headed to his promised land. But this is what God says. He said, just so there's no confusion, just so there's no conflict that he can't overcome, I'm going to walk through the valley. He says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they. So even while going through some of the stuff you're going through, listen at this. You oughtn't fear. You ought to be comforted because God is with you. Preparing you for the best that is yet to come cost God something, and it cost you something. See, when you don't realize, my brothers and sisters, God's not just going to drop in your hands, into your lap, in your account, stuff you can't handle. He prepares you first so that when he puts it in your hand, puts it in your account, gives you the charge over it, you know how to handle it. That's why God never gives many of us more than we've got, because we can't handle it. You got to go through something. You got to get yourself together. You've got to be tested. You've got to be proven. God proves you. Listen, do you know what? A fight is never really won in the ring. A real fight is won doing practice, strengthening up the fighter so that when he gets in the ring, what he has practiced and prepared before he got in the ring will give him the victory in the ring. Some of y'all will never see the winner's circle until you do the practicing and the preparation that it takes to be in the winner's circle. And here's what I need you to understand, that the circle doesn't pick the winner. Y'all don't get that, do you? Don't let the world dictate that you are or you are not a winner. That ought to come from the inside, and that ought to come from God himself. And you ought to know that if God calls you a winner, it doesn't matter how many folk call you a loser. You ought to connect your faith and your hope to God. And every time they call you a loser, it's only because they don't see the winner in you. But sooner or later, God's going to reveal that you are what he says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You will have what God promised you will have. And he'll make the naysayer shut up. And God wants us to get ready for that. Listen, you can't get a miracle unless you're expecting a miracle. You've got to connect your hope to your faith, and both of them have got to be in God. And when your hope and faith are in God, then everything else that God said has got to come to pass. Look again at verse 10, and I'm closing. It says, when thou hast eaten, that's past tense, when you've tasted it, victory. Listen to this. And art full. Can't eat another bite. Don't want to taste another nothing. You still got a whole lot left over. Look at what he says. Now I want you to see that in the word. He says, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now look at God's faithfulness. This is why I tell you, God is such a faithful God. God is such an honorable God. God is such a gentleman also. That he don't even want praise and thanks and worship from you till he does what he say he gonna do. Did you hear what I said? Let's go back to the verse again. It says, when thou hast eaten, past tense. And not just eaten, but you're full. You can't eat no more. He says, don't take a nap. Don't wrap back in your seat and get comfortable and turn on the game. Look at what he says. Then thou shalt bless the Lord, thy God. Listen at this. For the good land which he had given thee. Let's put this in focus and then we're going home. You know, when God has brought you through some of the worst experiences of your life and brought you to a place of promise that he said was yours, that he